Welcome to 9to5 Mac Daily for Monday, June 22nd, 2020. It's WWDC week, and I'm your host, Chance Miller. Apple has just finished its WWDC kickoff keynote, and we're going to walk through the big points today and dive deeper into everything else throughout the rest of this week. Apple kicked things off with the official announcement of iOS 14, which brings a variety of new features for the iPhone and iPod Touch. Most notably are a handful of major changes to the home screen for the first time ever. iOS 14 adds a new app library view for organizing all of your apps. Apps are automatically placed in the app library when you download them, and you don't even have to keep all of the icons on your actual home screen anymore. Instead, you can keep only the apps you use most on your home screen and keep everything else in the app library. There is also a new list view, as well as features for sorting applications based on usage patterns and more. iOS 14 also brings support for home screen widgets for the first time. You simply long press on the home screen and you can add a variety of different widgets, such as weather, fitness, and more. And developers will also be able to tap into this and create their own custom widgets for their apps. When you place a widget on your iPhone's home screen, all of the other app icons automatically shift around it, so everything stays perfectly aligned. iOS 14 also brings a new Translate application. This offers a complete translator that works with text and voice. All of the translations are processed locally with the neural engine, so the feature works offline and it won't send any data back to Apple. At first, this feature will work with 11 different languages, but there are more to come in the future. In Apple Maps, there are new features designed to help users reduce their carbon footprint, including support for cycling directions and EV routing, with recommended charging stops and battery status integration. Apple says that at first it is working on this feature with BMW and Ford, but there are plans to add more car makers in the future. And speaking of BMW, iOS 14 officially adds support for Apple's new Car Key feature, which we've talked already quite a bit about. Car Key will initially work with select newer model BMW cars, but Apple has plans to expand it to other companies in the future. Car Key will allow you to unlock and start your car using your iPhone, and you can share access to your car via iMessage as well. Also in iOS 14 is a new Clips feature that allows you to access an application without downloading the full version from the App Store. For example, you'll be able to tap your iPhone on an NFC tag and access a small version of that application to do something like reserve a parking spot or rent a scooter. And Apple says that you'll be able to do everything without even making an account, using Sign In with Apple as well as Apple Pay. Other changes in iOS 14 include a redesigned Siri interface that does not overtake the entire screen, as well as a new interface for incoming calls that also doesn't overtake the screen. The weather app now supports real-time precipitation data as well as severe weather tracking, and there's also now support for searching for emoji as well as many new Memoji characters. And finally, as part of iOS 14, users will be able to change their default app preferences for the first time. Details here are somewhat unclear, but Apple says users will be able to customize to use their own email and web browsing applications. For example, this theoretically means that you'll be able to set something like Gmail as your default mail application and Chrome as your default web browser. But again, specific details here are still somewhat unknown. iOS 14 is available now to developers with a public beta scheduled for release in July, followed by a stable release to everyone in the fall. Next up during the keynote was iPadOS 14, which adds many of the same features as iOS 14, including support for new widgets in the Today View and Apple Maps improvements. In iPadOS 14, there is also a redesigned music app that brings full-screen lyrics, new tabs, and easier access to your library. This new music app is an especially nice upgrade, and it takes much better advantage of the iPad's larger screen than the old music app did. Apple also touted that search on the iPad has been completely revamped to improve app launching, bring a less intrusive interface, add deeper integration to files, and much more. For Apple Pencil users, Scribble is a new feature that allows you to write with your Apple Pencil and automatically convert it to text. For example, this works in something like the Reminders app for handwriting a task and automatically converting it into text in the app. You will also be able to roughly draw shapes and have the iPad automatically create defined polygons. Other than that, iPadOS isn't as big of an update as you might have expected, but it's available now to developers with a public beta coming next month, followed by a stable release in the fall. Following iPadOS, we took a trip to the Apple Park Fitness Center, where Kevin Lynch walked us through many of the new features coming to Apple Watch this year. First off, watchOS 7 brings additional tools for developers, allowing them to create more advanced types of complications. This means you'll be able to add additional data points and other things to your Apple Watch's watch face. The Workouts app has been updated with a new dance workout, as well as improved calorie tracking for things like core training, cooldowns, and functional training. And in conjunction with watchOS 7, the Activity app on Apple Watch and iPhone has been completely redesigned and actually renamed from Activity to Fitness. So no longer will you have an Activity app, but rather something called Fitness with many of the same features, just in a new interface. WatchOS 7 also brings support for watch face sharing. This means a few different things. First, you can now create and share watch faces with other people, but developers can also offer pre-configured watch faces in their applications, and you can download and add watch faces from the web. So if someone you know has a watch face that you really like, but you haven't been able to quite replicate it yourself, they'll now be able to share it directly with you. With watchOS 7, there's also a new hand washing feature for tracking how long you wash your hands and coaching you for helping you wash your hands for as long as you're supposed to. But perhaps most notably of all is support for Apple Watch sleep tracking. Yes, after many years of rumors, Apple Watch sleep tracking support is finally here. WatchOS 7 and iOS 14 both feature a variety of different capabilities designed to help you track your sleep and get the best night's sleep possible. There is a new wind-down feature that helps you transition from wakefulness to sleep with shortcuts for things like HomeKit scenes, alarms, and Do Not Disturb. This feature also adds a different view on your iPhone's lock screen to help you wind down and avoid looking at your phone so much. Apple Watch Sleep Mode will turn off your Apple Watch's display and wake you up using either an alarm sound or a silent wake using Taptics. And when you first wake up in the morning, your Apple Watch will show you a breakdown of your day, including your Apple Watch's current battery charge, the time, and the date. WatchOS 7 is available to developers now, and for the first time ever, a public beta will be released next month, prior to a release to everybody in the fall. We are sponsored this week by CleanMyMacX, an all-in-one utility that takes care of your Mac's health. It's a macOS cleaner, a performance monitor, and a malware remover, and occasionally a lifesaver. CleanMyMacX speeds up your Mac by freeing up RAM, running routine maintenance scripts, and maximizing performance. It's a great helper when it comes to managing apps on your Mac, and it removes unnecessary apps with their leftover data, and it also helps keep the apps you do need up to date. You can get CleanMyMacX on the Mac App Store and on the MacPaw website. Go to macpaw.com/9to5 to get CleanMyMacX with a 30% discount. We are also sponsored by Mac Stadium, provider of cloud solutions built on Apple Mac hardware. As more teams are working from home, having your Mac build infrastructure in the cloud can make it easy for app development to continue uninterrupted. There's no need to have someone in the office keeping an eye on the Macs. Let Mac Stadium do it for you. Whether you need a single Mac Mini or a fully scalable Mac private cloud, Mac Stadium can help you move your iOS and Mac app development out from under your desk and into the cloud. Learn more at macstadium.com/9to5Mac, where you can also get half off your first 6 months of a Mac Mini subscription with promo code WWDC2020. For the rest of the WWDC keynote, attention shifted to the Mac. Apple officially unveiled macOS 11 Big Sur. Yes, we're jumping from macOS 10.15 to macOS 11. This update brings all sorts of visual changes and redesigns to the Mac that largely resemble iOS and iPadOS design elements. For example, the dock has been redesigned with rounded corners and an all-new set of app icons. There's also a new translucent menu bar at the top, with an all-new control center and notification center. Messages on the Mac has been completely redesigned with a more powerful search feature, a redesigned photo picker, Memoji integration, messages effects, pinned conversations, and other group iMessage enhancements. In fact, the new Messages app is a port of the iPad version of Messages using the Mac Catalyst technology. Furthermore, Apple has added a new version of the Apple Maps app, which has also come from the iPad through Mac Catalyst. And speaking of Catalyst, Apple is making some improvements to the platform itself to make it easier for developers to bring their own iPad apps to the Mac. There are a variety of new tools here for developers, including improved access to menu and keyboard APIs, new controls for checkboxes and date pickers, and much more. Safari has also gotten some major enhancements in Big Sur, including a dramatic improvement to performance, with Apple touting that web pages now load 50% faster in Safari than in Google Chrome. There is also a new privacy report button in the toolbar to see how a web page is using your data and what trackers Safari is blocking, and other important privacy details. Other features of Safari include support for translating web pages directly from the toolbar and a new customizable start page. But the news on the Mac did not stop there. Apple concluded today's event by officially confirming its plans to shift from Intel processors in the Mac to its own ARM-based Apple Silicon. This shift has been rumored for a while now, and Apple officially outlined what it all means for the Mac at WWDC today. Apple emphasized that by using Apple Silicon in the Mac, it will bring improved GPU performance, high-performance storage, dramatic improvements to efficiency, and much more. The company is in the process of designing a family of Mac processors specifically for use in the Mac hardware lineup. This will mean that a common architecture is used across all of Apple's product lineups, including the Mac, the iPhone, and the iPad. Everything in macOS 11 Big Sur is already designed to run on Apple Silicon, and Apple said that the vast majority of developers will be able to get their own apps up and running in a matter of days. The company highlighted that Microsoft is already working on updating Office for Mac to run on Apple Silicon, and Adobe is working on Creative Cloud updates as well. For emulation, macOS Big Sur includes a new version of Rosetta to translate existing Intel apps to work on Apple Silicon, with the apps being translated at the time of install to ensure the best performance possible. Even further, because the iPhone, iPad, and Mac will all share a common chip architecture, Apple Silicon means that you'll be able to run iPhone and iPad apps on the Mac. Most applications will work without any changes, and they'll all be available to download via the Mac App Store. So yes, this means any app that you currently use on your iPhone or iPad, you'll also soon be able to use on your Mac. For developers, Apple is launching a quick start program that provides them with documentation and sample code to help ease the transition from Intel to ARM. There will also be a Developer Transition Kit hardware package that includes a Mac Mini powered by Apple's A12Z processor. Developers can apply to receive this Mac Mini for $500 via Apple's developer website starting today. So, what does this roadmap for the transition look like for consumers? Apple announced that it will ship its first Apple Silicon Mac to consumers starting later this year. In total, Apple believes that it will take about 2 years to transition the entire Mac lineup to the new Apple Silicon processors. Reliable Apple analyst Ming-Chi Kuo reported that Apple's first Silicon Mac will be the 13-inch MacBook Pro, as well as a 24-inch iMac. But during today's WWDC keynote, Apple did not offer specific information, nor did it even announce any hardware for consumers. macOS 11 Big Sur is available to developers starting today, with a public beta launching in July and a release to everyone in the fall. So, as you can see, WWDC was full of announcements for every Apple platform. We are still digging through it all, and we'll have additional coverage throughout the rest of this week and into the summer. For now, that wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. Keep up with everything Apple announced today on 9to5mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.